And I hope you're having a good morning. And some of you for with OCD or something like that, that shirt right there is gonna bother you. You wanna pull that down, Grandpa? It'll bother people like you wouldn't believe. Anyway, good morning. Hey, I've been on the road for like 2 weeks with my family and enjoying the time that I've had with them and everything like that. But I thought, you know what? I thought I would come on and I thought I'd say a few things here real quick about Father's Day. And the reason why is because it's necessary about fathers in general. The need for fathers. The need for not only fathers, I'm not talking about sperm donors. I'm not talking about those that give their seed. I'm talking about men. Men that stand up and father their families. They lead their families. They guide the home. You know, I was driving down here. I'm at this Dunkin' Donuts here this morning, drive through to get some coffee. And, you know, I thought I'd just come on here real quick and talk about men and fathers and the verses and things that come up to my mind. Quit you like men and be strong. Strong biblical leadership and manhood is needed. You know, there's this repulsive, effeminate spirit that is out there that absolutely hates fathers, hates men, hates masculinity, hates all of those things, hates it with a passion. And it's out there, it's real, and it's pervading our society. It's taken over our society like completely. And it's this passive, effeminate spirit that absolutely hates real biblical manhood, real leadership, and everything else. So anyway, I was driving down the road here, to go to this coffee shop here. I'm in Peoria, Illinois, of all places. My old stomping grounds, back when I used to sell vacuum cleaners and ran an office here in Peoria, Illinois. Can you believe that? Anyway, so while I was, driving down here, I saw a sign and it said vasectomy, right? It said vasectomy. And it bragged about how a vasectomy is cheaper than daycare. And I thought about that, and in this world that we live in today, everything is about convenience. It's not about truth. It's not about what's right. It's about convenience. Like whatever is convenient, right? Then that's what it's about. Making people happy and making their lives convenient and everything else like that. Not about what's right and wrong. Sometimes right is not convenient. Fact, for a Christian, most of your life, what's right is not going to be convenient. What's right is going to be the hardest thing that you do. Most of the time. And as a man, that's definitely how it's going to be. As a man, a lot of your life is going to consist of being hard. And the decisions and the choices and the things that you make and everything else, they're not going to be easy. That's called manhood. And you're going to have to make decisions that are hard. You're going to have to go through circumstances and trials and everything else that are hard. I don't expect a lot of people to be on here this morning. It's like 7:30. And people are getting ready for church and everything else like that. I'm going to go back to my hotel here, preach to my family. I've been preaching through Mark chapter 1 to my family while I've been on the road. And I'm going to preach the third message here today to them on Mark chapter 1. And I've written some other devotions on it, but I've uploaded those to Sermon Audio and one on YouTube. The other one I'll have to get to when I get back. But this one I'll probably put on at the hotel here today, the one I'm going to teach on. But anyway, in talking about a few good men, you know, we need fathers. This world so badly needs men to stand up and lead and not to be ashamed of their manhood, you know, not to be ashamed of being a man, not to be ashamed of masculinity. I think one of the most scary demographics in all of America right now are young males. I think it's absolutely the most scariest thing in the world to grow up being a young male, because you are the absolute hunted and hated. And in some cases, young white males, you are definitely hated. Your masculinity is hated. You're told that you're not to be toxic, have toxic masculinity and everything else. You're not supposed to have any of that stuff. But even in every culture, I think the young black man is hunted down and hated. Oh, I absolutely think he's not, they're not being raised right. They're not being raised to love families, as wholesale that is. They're not being raised to love fatherhood, to be men, to stand up. They're really taught that being a man is going out and whoring around. That's what they're taught manhood is. That how many ever women you can bag in the sack, that makes you a man. And that's what's being taught today. It's being taught by example, but it's also being taught in their music and everything else. It's exactly what they're teaching. That's manhood. No, real manhood, I'm going to tell you something, real manhood and real fatherhood is getting up every day, obeying the Lord, and leading your family. It's going to work for that 9 to 5 or sometimes 9 to 10, whatever it is, double shifts, whatever it is, grind. It's that in and out, day in and day out, serving the Lord and working hard and providing for your family and leading your home biblically and abstaining from all appearance of evil and standing up and doing what's right. That's biblical manhood. That's fatherhood, being an example. And for goodness sakes, fatherhood is actually teaching your children something. You're supposed to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You're not just some person that simply provides for their needs but doesn't teach them about life. That doesn't teach them about principles of life. That doesn't teach them on what their direction of life is to be. That doesn't instill in them biblical principles for how they handle the day-to-day affairs of this life. Fatherhood is teaching them to do all of those things. Fatherhood is teaching a young man how to control his passions, his desires. How to put down the fires of lust in the heart. How to walk in, to teach his daughters how to love and to walk in purity and holiness, and that God cares about them being pure, and that you care about them being pure as a father, and you protect your daughters. I cannot believe how some men and some women, but especially some men, let their daughters leave the house. The clothes they let them wear. It's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. How they would let them walk around. How they let them dress. And I said let, yes. Because fathers and men are supposed to lead their homes. You should never marry a woman that tells you that men aren't to lead, or that does not believe, that believes that marriage is some partnership where there's no leader. That's not marriage. That's some kind of weird contractual agreement. Marriage is where a man is the head of the home, and he leads, and he guides his family. He directs, and he stands up, and he makes decisions for the family that have to be made. And he sticks with them no matter what, upon principle. And he's a father that's there for his children. And he shows them that by being there for their mother. By being there to back their mother up and being there to be the head over her. And even sometimes correcting her when she's wrong. And standing up and not making excuses. There'll be times when you have to correct your wife and instruct your wife. If that's demeaning to you, it's because you've got a Jezebel spirit and you don't love the Lord. How do you like that one? Because if you don't like a man leading you as a woman, if you don't like that, then guess what? Means you got the wrong spirit. That's what it means. That's what it means. It means your spirit's wrong. That's exactly what that is. Because a real woman
will actually want that leadership. She'll want to be directed and corrected. She'll want to be right with God. And a father that's a man, guess what he's going to do? He's going to do just that. He's going to lead. He's going to guide. He's going to instruct. He's going to correct, and he's going to love. He's going to show love and mercy and pity and long-suffering and patience with his children and with his wife and with his family and with the situation that he's in. He's going to show them and point them to Christ and point them to the model Father in heaven, and that we should all be like that, that we all don't live by our own rules. We're not the world. We don't live by our own rules. We live by the Bible. We live by God's word. We live by the principles that are laid down in the scriptures. Real fatherhood means that you point men to Christ, that you point your children to Christ, that you point them to that perfect example of the perfect Son. How God said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And by the way, a father tells his children when he's pleased with them, not just corrects them. But a father will tell them when he's pleased with them. He'll tell them that they're doing a good job. He'll tell them when they are doing a good job. He'll instruct them. He'll encourage them. He'll encourage their mother. He'll show them how to treat a wife by treating his wife good, by being there for her, by caring for her, by being compassionate to her, by being self-sacrificing. You know, it's amazing to me as I traveled up and down these roads for the 2 weeks, how many women were working, like this lady at this hotel here working a double shift. She worked from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 7 o'clock this morning. Wow. Maybe it was 8 o'clock this morning. I thought about that, how God never meant for her to be that. How God never really meant for her to be having to work that way. How God meant for a husband and a father to take care of her. I have 5 daughters. Or is it 6? Nope, 5. I always lose count. I got 2 boys now, so I lose track of my count sometimes. I got to check it. Oh, yeah, 5. Yep. 1 on the bookends. 1 boy in the beginning, 1 boy the last one so far. So I always have to check to make sure I remember all of them, all their numbers. But it means I'm getting old, I think. But anyway, I think about those 5 girls, and I've told them before, and I've stated very clearly, I will not marry you off to a man that will not take care of you. Yeah. I will not marry you off to a man that does not, that will put you out in the workforce and make you earn your own way. I have not done that to you. I will not do that to you. Right? I realize there's extenuating circumstances. Somebody gets ill. Somebody gets sick. There's no money coming in. Something bad happens. I get it. There's things that can happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about men that just set their life up and say, yep, my wife's going to pay half the bills. She's going to do this and she's going to do that. Where do you find that in the Bible at all? Where do you find that in biblical leadership at all? Where do you find that as a father at all? Where do you find that? Where do you find a father sending his daughter out to go to work to pay her way when she gets like 16 years old? Yep. Where do you find that? Nowhere. It was made up in American culture. It was made up after a world war. So war caused God's people to compromise everything they believed in. Mm-hmm. A father knows the distinction between his daughters and his sons. He knows the distinction between them. He knows he's raising his son to be a man, to learn to provide for a family, to lead a home in that sense, and to be the head over a wife. Right? That's what he knows. That's what a father, a biblical father, knows that. He knows that he's teaching his son to be a man, to stand up and to care for his own, and to stand on principles. And to quit you like men and be strong. He knows that. That's what a real biblical father knows. He knows he raises his daughters differently. He raises them to submit to a husband by submitting to him. He raises them to care for a home, to guide the home, to keep the home. Not to send them to work to go off and pay for their own bills and pay for their car insurance and pay for this and pay for that. Nowhere in the Bible. And that's why we raise children androgynous now. American society and American Christians raise their kids in an androgynous fashion. They make no distinction between the sexes at all. None. No distinction. And that's not fatherhood. Fatherhood understands the difference between the two. Understands it, accepts it, and respects it. That's real fatherhood. That's what fathers do. That's what biblical fathers do. They provide. They take care of their children. They meet the needs that are there. They teach them both spiritually. They meet their physical needs, their emotional needs. You know, your children, your daughters need an affectionate, loving father to teach them proper biblical love and affection. As your daughters grow up in their teen years and as they get older, they need a father that has a holy and righteous, sanctified love for them. Not a sick and perverse thing, but a natural affection for them. That loves them, that cares for them, that puts their arm around them, that holds their hand. You know, I bet you people think it's really strange. My daughter is turning, today's her birthday. Happy birthday, Mandy. She's 13 today. Hard to believe. I have a 13-year-old daughter. But you know something? Mandy and my other little daughters do it too. But Mandy, while we're walking through the stores or walking through, we were in Colonial Williamsburg and different places like that, my daughter's holding my hand while she's walking. While we're walking through down the streets. And I imagine some people probably think that's weird. You know, in this world, they probably thought I was dating her. Right? Because that's how weird our society is. Right? That's probably what they thought. But here is my daughter that's 13 years old that wants to hold her daddy's hand. Right? That's what our children, that's the type of affection and love. Right? That's the type of affection and love that our children need. Raising our children undefiled, you know, not exposing them to the world. A father keeps his children protected. You know, there's certain things that we just couldn't stick around and do. My children pretty much ran out to the beach, stuck their feet in the water of the ocean, and we had to get out of there. And we got up early one morning. I think it was last Sunday. Early Sunday morning, got up, ran out there, ran out into the water, looked straight at the waves, not looking around anything, and ran and jumped in the water, looked at the ocean, stood there looking out at the ocean, and then turned around and got out of there. Why? Because people, man, even that early, they'll start to dress immodestly, right? But a father protects his children from that. You know, doesn't put wicked television and movies and things that pervert their minds and pop culture. Throw pop culture into their minds and their hearts and defile their minds with that. Very careful. Very careful. Not to stick around those places. You know, not to stick around things. You know, it's amazing just trying to go find a place to walk and find a place to do things. It's like there's landmines of sin everywhere in this world. And, you know, a father will protect his family, won't put them in harm's way. There's been things on vacation that I told my children, I said, you know what, we can't go in there. That music is blasting so loud in there, and I just can't put you in that. It's not wise. And they understood that. But it's just, there's times when a father has to stand up and say no to his family. You know, no to his daughters and no to his son that want to do certain things. And teach them and hold them accountable. Father holds their children accountable. A father will hold his children accountable for their behavior, for their actions, for their decisions, and teach them how to make decisions. Teach them how to live by principles. A lot of fatherhood is raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's actually teaching them something. Actually teaching them something. Most children grow up and their parents never teach them anything. But fatherhood means that you're actually teaching. It's a life of teaching. That's what it is. Teaching them that marriage is a commitment for life. That God intends you to be married for the rest of your life. To marry the right person and to stay with them the rest of your life. That's what God wants. That's God's direction. That's what the Lord wants. That's God's perfect will. Is for you to marry right and stay with that person for the rest of your life. And to actually care about who you're marrying and actually, and a father to be a part of that courtship of that future marriage. That he interviews that young man. That he talks to that young man. That he's examined that young man. That he has thoroughly vetted that young man. Why? Because he's going to have an eye of question about that young man. Where the girl is going to be mostly goo-goo gaga over that young man. But the father isn't going to be goo-goo gaga. All he's going to think in his mind is, this person wants to take my daughter. Now, they might be the person God wants, but they're going to have to prove that. And that's the way it should be. That's the way God wants it to be. That they prove themselves. But a father is involved in the courtship of his daughter, the giving away of the bride. It's more than just a ceremony. It's the whole process. It's a process of actually giving her away over a period of time of examination and looking into things. That's what a father does. He's involved with those aspects of his children's life. They don't just happen. You don't just agree to something, I'll pay for this, this is this, and this is done. Oh, well, she wants it. I don't care if she wants it or not. Does God want it for him? Is it right in the eyes of the Lord? That's what matters. And a man is supposed to stand up and discern that. That means fathers have to walk with the Lord and have a communion with the Holy Spirit and understand the scriptures and follow the Bible and stand up and lead. So then they know the scriptures and they know what God expects. What it means to be a father is to stand up and lead and to show them and to guide them, and even, especially through court. For some reason, fathers think that's left to the pastor to counsel and that's left to others. Well, you know your daughter better than anybody, or you should. And it's and fathers should get together with the father of that other man and talk to them. Talk to them and to know what that young man believes, that family stands for, what they hold to, that they're in agreement with everything. You don't just leave that to your daughter and trust her to do that. You do it. You're a part of that. You're the one doing that. As a father, you're the one involved with that. You're vetting that and checking that. You're not just leaving that to chance or, oh, I trust my daughter's judgment. Really? You trust a young girl's judgment like that can be easily influenced, as the Bible shows us, happened to Eve, happened to Dinah, happened to others? No. You're a man. You do it. You're the father. You do it. And then, of course, a father, also fatherhood means that you have your children's heart. Because when it does come time for those serious decisions of life, that your children give you veto power over those decisions. Because God's already given it to you. But they just accept it and they submit to it. They trust the Lord. And they trust that their father is walking with God. Because you've showed them what it means to walk with God. You've showed your children what it means to walk with God by walking with God. You've showed your children what it means to walk by God by living by principles.
So you show them what that means. You've lived that godly example. You've been that example in their life. That you surrender and you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ in all things in that book. And that you follow it. That you've obeyed leadership in your life. That you've obeyed the rulers that God's put in your life. And that you followed those things yourself. So then when you show your children that, you haven't taught them a bunch of rebellion and a bunch of bad behavior. So then they don't even want to listen to what you have to say. And they don't respect what you have to say. Why? Because you never followed it. No. You've led them that way. You've taught them the right way. You've shown them the truth. You've lived the truth. You've put them in front of people in the local New Testament church that follow the truth. So then when you get down to that point of courtship with them and you get to that point of a father in that area, then your children trust your judgment. You have their hearts. My son, give me thine heart. You have their hearts. So then when you tell them, I don't think this person's right for you. And here's why. That they've, one, trust your judgment. And two, well, one, they follow the Lord and they see the principles that you've showed them in the scriptures. And two, they trust your judgment. And you have their heart. So no one else takes it. Because when you give that daughter away, when you give that child away, when you do that, you're taking their heart and you've said, I have kept it. I have preserved it for you. When you hand that over to a man someday, when you put her hand in his hand, you are saying, I have protected her heart. I have kept it for you. I've done my best that she be not defiled by this world. And I'm handing it to you now. And I expect you to do the same. That's the duty of a father. And then to be there as an advisory role later. When that husband or that daughter or somebody else needs that. That your son needs guidance and direction. Needs instruction. You watch your children if they go wayward. If they start to slip. Then you give them instructions. Then you are there to pray for them. Correct them. Teach them what they should do. Instruct them. Teach them to honor and glorify God with their lives. And if you've been teaching that to them their whole lives, then guess what? Since a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You've taught them that from a child. That's what God expects from us. That's what a father does. And you know what a father does? He does his best to finish up strong. That as the years go by and his life goes by, that it's not just how he began the race, not just how he ran the race, but how he finishes the race. And that he finishes it walking in the same fear of the Lord that he started it with many more gray hairs, but much more wisdom and guidance and direction and purity and holiness and sanctification and separation from sin and godly fear. We need a few good men. We need a lot of men to stand up and lead their homes. Some men to bring their wives home from work and have them keep the home and take care of their children. And stop complaining about their bills and everything else. And stop complaining about how hard they have to work or whatever else. But order their homes after the Bible. To lead their families. To father their children. And to love their wives. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We need some strong biblical men that stand up, that lead. It's needed today. All right, everybody. Well, God bless you. I haven't seen you all for a while on here. It's been a while since I've done a video. But anyway, hope you're doing well. I saw Carl on there. I saw a few others on there. Brandon Swanson. All right, Brandon, how you doing? I saw Jessica on there earlier. And I think my wife was on there. I saw her pop on there. I don't know who else. If you want to say hi real quick before I take off, you can do that here. Carl Winters. Holly Smith. How are you, Holly? Got to meet Holly. My family got to meet Holly down at the Trail of Faith in Valdez. And what a blessing that was. I'll talk to you more about that when I get back to doing some videos and everything else. We're moving here in a week, so Lord willing, that's the way it's supposed to go. So you pray for us, and pray the Lord bless us as we move here. And Jacob Yates, Jacob, getting ready for church pretty soon with Corn Cob. Carl Winters was on there. Let's see who else was on there. Jacob, I didn't see who else was on there. Teresa, Daryl's wife, how are you? Elizabeth Garver, thank you for the prayers. I appreciate it. Hope you're doing well. I don't recognize your last name for some reason. I don't know why I don't recognize you, but praise the Lord. Oh, and a man named Armani sent me a nice card. Something to us, and praise the Lord for him. He was a nice man. Said that he listened to our sermons on depression. And Mary, how are you? Hope you're doing well. Man, it's been so long since I said hi to everybody. It feels like I haven't been around very much. Well, I haven't, I guess, but I've been all over the place. I've been in Colonial Williamsburg and Virginia, and all over Virginia, and all over North Carolina, and I'm finally back in Illinois here. Stefan from Germany. Hello, Stefan from Germany. People listen from Germany. Wow. All over the place. There was a Russian Baptist family that I really wanted to meet up with, and I just didn't go through Pennsylvania, but sometime when I get back there, or if I ever get back to Pennsylvania, I want to meet up with them and go to their church. He invited me to come to their church and to be with their people there, and sometime I will, and he was going to show me Pennsylvania and all kinds of things, and man, I couldn't do it this time. I wish I could, but I just couldn't. But perhaps the Lord will provide another time. They were unregistered Baptists, and which was a blessing for sure. They understand that issue very well. Anyway, I saw Jim on there. He was on there earlier. He's probably getting ready for church himself here. And Danky Carl. Danky Carl? I'll start calling him Danky Carl. Oh, man, that's a new name. Danky Carl. Hey, Danky Carl. Oh, Danky Carl. I know, but it means something else to me. It means Danky Carl. That's all you had to do is say that to me, and that's like forever what I'm going to call him. Not Donkey Carl. I prefer Donkey Carl, but I'll call him Danky Carl. That's not like Danky Carl Dandy, is it? That isn't like that, is it? You know, I've really missed picking on Carl for a while. Peter's in a different time zone, so he's probably sleeping still. He's going to get up and be like, whoa, when did this happen? That was a surprise video. I just thought I'd do it. It's been a while, man. So, anyway, it's good to see everybody on there. Brandon Swanson loves yodeling Carl. Danky Carl the Yodeler. That will be forever Danky Carl the Yodeler.
That's right. You tell Peter when he wakes up, you're a slacker, Peter. You should be up already. Tell him, could you not tarry 1 hour? He was sleeping. Come on, man. I've been up early. What's going on? Of course, it's an hour earlier there, I think, or maybe two. Anyway, well, I hope you're all having a good day, and have a good day today in the house of the Lord. I'll be preaching to my family, then hitting the road, and then we've got to meet my stepsister who hasn't seen my dad for 2 years. So, almost 2 years, because all this COVID stuff and everything that's happened. So, we're going to go see her before we head out and try to be a blessing to her today. So, look forward to doing that. And then we will make the 5 hour trek home, and we'll be back home in the quad, or not the quad cities. We'll go through the quad cities and we'll be back towards the Twin Cities there. And, boy, time just goes so fast, doesn't it? It just really does. This vacation's been a blessing though. And, the Lord's used it in my life and given me some relaxation. I still have to deal with some housing stuff, which wasn't fun, but that's life. So, you can't vacation away from life. But anyway, God's given me a lot of grace. I'm looking forward to get back to my pulpit and preaching. And I'll be back there Wednesday, Lord willing. And looking forward to getting back to that. And I don't know about broadcasts and other things like that. I just don't know where everything's going to fall here this week as I get ready for everything. But I should have some time to do some of that possibly this week. It'd probably be good for my brains to get back to doing something like that. So we'll see what happens. And all that good stuff. Well, God bless you all. Take care of yourself. It's good to be on here. And hopefully that message will be a blessing to you and help encourage you and to walk with the Lord and to be what God wants you to be as a man and help you to. By the way, you ought to, if you're a wife or your daughter or your child or, you know, in a supportive role, you ought to encourage fatherhood. You ought to encourage biblical manhood. You ought to be an encouragement to your father and your husband and do everything you can to support biblical manhood and fatherhood. Wives, you know, be supportive to your husbands. Don't be nagging, but be supportive. Be encouraging. Encourage them in their roles of being a father and being a husband. Be an encouragement to them. Biblical manhood is so hated today that men need supported by it. They're bombarded with wickedness and vileness and perversion and everything else as they go out in the world. They need women in their lives that encourage them to fulfill the role that God has for them. Amen. All right. God bless you all. Take care.